ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to see faces I haven't seen in a while. And Father, we bless you and we praise you and we honor you, Father, that your voice is powerful, that your voice is majestic. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, come. King of glory, come. Breathe upon your word as it's read, as it's sung, as it's declared. Father, for the Burmeisters, Don and Shirley. We ask peace to be on Don in Jesus' name. Lord, give you a shield and a guard all around about him. We pray grace on Shirley, Lord, as she continues to recover from that broken vertebrae, God. We just ask your healing on Shirley. We pray for Janet Kirk's brother. Father, as they're making a game plan with the issues that he has, Lord, we just ask healing on Joe in Jesus' name. Lead, guide the doctors. We ask for mercy, God, in the collapse of the condo in Miami. We ask you, Lord, to comfort those who mourn. We ask your mercy and your grace. Jesus, have mercy. Speak your word over them. Thou, O Lord, you are a shield about me. You are my glory, and you are the lifter of my head. God, have mercy. Bring comfort, Lord. We pray for Barbara, who has lung cancer, friend and neighbor, former neighbor of Bonnie and Jerry. Lord, we ask peace. We ask comfort. We ask your mercy to be upon Barbara in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for the young 16-year-old girl that's been diagnosed with a neuroblastoma, and the doctors say they don't think she's going to make it to Christmas. Lord, we thank you that you are the God of miracles, that nothing is too difficult for you. We lift that young woman up to you, and Jesus, we ask you to touch her. We ask you to heal her in Jesus' name. We curse that cancer and say, leave her body now in Jesus' name. We ask for healing. We ask peace on her family. We pray, Jesus, that you be a shield and a guard all around about them. Lord, have mercy. Send forth your word and heal that young woman in Jesus' name. Lord, we jokingly talked about rain and praying for rain, and the last time we did that, it rained for a week. It means a wondrous deed. It means a miracle, power, might. And as I began looking at that word, I traced it through the entire Bible. And when I looked at it in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, and that was the Bible that Jesus and his disciples read in that day. They read the Greek of the Old Testament, not the Hebrew. And so that's why I like to do word studies, to kind of see what that word would have meant and how the Jews would have understood that word. And when I did that, you all, I was shocked at what I found. And there were it was 610 times, so I'm not going to bore you today on a word study. I'm just going to pull out, and I'm going to talk more about that next week because there are more nuances to that word. But in Genesis, in Exodus, and in Numbers, that word is a military word. That word, in Genesis, chapter 1 with Abraham, that word is translated a commander, Abimelech and Abraham in Genesis 21. And Genesis, it's a commander. And when God brought the Hebrew children out of Egypt, and that word is used in Exodus chapter 6, the Lord said to Moses, "Bring the Israelites out of the land of Egypt, company by company." That was our word, dunamis. And so they're bringing out the children of Israel kind of in contingents. And so they had them separated and in company. And then you trace it and you look in the book of Numbers. So God has delivered them. God's part of the Red Sea. And they're marching. God is organizing his people. And in Numbers, it's powerful. Listen to this. Numbers chapter 1. God's organizing them, and he said, "You and Aaron shall enroll them company by company." Numbers 1, verse 20, the descendants of Reuben, every male from 20 years old and upward, everyone able to go to war. That's our word, dunamis. And they bringing them out, Numbers 1, 22, every male 20 years old and upward, everyone able to go to war. And you see? That word, and so what's the importance of that? What's the big deal? Okay, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That word in the Old Testament is a word for company. It's a word for might. It's a word for armies. It's a word for commander. What does that mean? So what? Y'all, when we become a Christian, God has called us to his army. When John the Baptist came preaching, he came preaching what? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus is baptized, he's tempted by the devil, and in Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is saying, he's preaching the same thing, the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus ushered in the kingdom of God. And when he calls us, and we're born again, and we call on his name, and we are saved, we are not saved to just come and sit in a pew one hour on Sunday and then just kind of do what we want to do. No, he's called us to be an army. He's called us. He's enlisted us, and he's the commander. He's the Lord, and he's enlisted us. And we see that in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Jesus said, when you pray, say, we prayed it today, "Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done." How is his kingdom going to come on earth? Y'all, it comes through us. It comes through you and me. I've told you this. We are his floodgates through whom he wants to move. We pray for revival. God, we pray for our nation. God, turn our nation back to you. I'm going to talk more about that next week. How is that going to happen? Yeah, there needs to be a sovereign move of God. But how is it going to come? It's going to come through us. It's going to come through you. It's going to come through you yielded, being obedient, sold out, filled with power, dunamis from on high, dynamite from on high. We've been enlisted into the army of God. I almost posted this on the church Facebook page, and I didn't because I didn't want it to be misunderstood. But when I was a kid, children's church, did you all ever sing this song? "I may never march in the infantry, ride But you all, there is a power, there is an authority when we are Christians. There's warfare. The enemy, we'll talk about that in a minute. Before I go there, Jesus makes a striking statement in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. I'm going to tie this together. What does this kingdom, this army of God, what does it have to do with love? What does it have to do with love? Jesus makes a striking statement in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. And he says this. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all men, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." That scripture was on my mind. I think it was Thursday night. Like all night long, the Lord just kept bringing that scripture up. And I just was kind of half in, half out, kind of thinking about that. And just this question that just kept ringing in my mind, "A new commandment I give you. A new commandment I give you." And I was like, what makes that new? Because that's not really a new commandment, to love one another. And the Shema in the Old Testament, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbors yourself." That's Deuteronomy. It's quoted in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Jesus quotes it again in Matthew 22. They ask him, "Teacher, what's the greatest law?" And Jesus said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and all the prophets." And yet Jesus, in John chapter 13, he says, "A new commandment I give you. Love one another." Okay, Lord Jesus, what makes that new? I don't understand. I've been thinking about that, praying about that. He's commanded us to love one another. Love our neighbor as ourselves. And yet Jesus says, "A new command." What makes it new? Love as I have loved you. In the Old Testament, they had the rules. They had the law. They had the regulations. But they did not have the power to do it. They failed miserably. And in Ezekiel chapter 36, Ezekiel's prophesying, and he says, "I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I'm going to give you a soft heart. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rule." You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You all, that part of what that means is if we are born again, we believe in Jesus, that he died on the cross for our sins, raised in power. If we believe that, we are born again. Sanctifying grace, prevenient grace has been drawing us to Jesus. We believe it. Wow, we're born again. But is that where it stops? Just a confession of faith and that's it? No. There's, Wesley talked about sanctifying grace. It's a grace that continues to work in our heart. It's a grace that does this promise in Ezekiel chapter 36. It takes our hard heart. It takes our stubborn heart. It takes that within us that we can't possibly obey the law. We can't possibly do it. But he puts the Spirit of God in us, and it enables us to do it. We're able to stand. We're able to be holy. We're able to do it because of Holy Spirit. "A new command I give you, love as I have loved you." Jesus knew we couldn't do it. He paid it all for us because he loves us, and he's given us his Spirit. And so now we're able to love. We're able to do it because of the Spirit of God within us. Y'all, that's amazing. Y'all have tough people in your lives that you just can't love. Love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. And it's choosing to love. It's choosing to love. It's a new command because Jesus enables us to do it. He gives us the grace to do it. I'm going to read a long passage of scripture out of 1 John. How important is love? I don't think there's a better answer in all of the Bible. If you have your Bibles, I want you to flip over to 1 John. It's near the back. If you get to Revelation, turn left. It's near the end of the book. 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to begin in verse 7. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love, listen to this, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. It's not us trying to do better. It's not us trying to do it. That we live through Jesus Christ. We live with his power within us. That we might live through him. Verse 10. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation. He sent God to be the penalty. All of the wrath that was due us, that we deserved, all of that punishment, that's the word propitiation, sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he's given us his Spirit, and we've seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, he lives in you, and he in God. So we've come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever abides or lives or dwells in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected in us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he does not love his brother whom he has seen. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Love is the major important thing. John could not be more clear. If we don't love, we don't know God. Jesus said in John chapter 13, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That's our witness. It's our love. It's our forgiveness. It's our patience. It's our kindness. It's that reaches out. It's that love. It's that same love that God the Father loved us with. And one of the major, not major, but one of the purposes of Holy Spirit is to shed abroad the love of Jesus in our heart. If we have a love problem, y'all, we need power. We need that dynamite power. We need the love. know that you're loved and you are living in condemnation and all of that. You've got nothing to give to other people. But if we stand at the feet of the cross and we look at Jesus and know that he loved us, as John was saying, that he, all of the wrath, all of our rebellion that was due to us was put on Jesus. And we see him and we thank him. We just say, thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness. And we receive that by faith. It's out of that that we're able to give love to other people. And it's that. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. It's the most important thing to our witness. How important is it in our journey with Jesus? Question 8 on your outline. Matthew 24, told you this before. Jesus says, because lawlessness in the last days will be increased, the love of many, the love of most, will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. In the book of Revelation, the seven churches that stand for all churches for all time, Jesus comes and he commends some and he warns some. And it was to the church at Ephesus. He said, I'm going to remove your lampstand. I'm going to revoke your churchhood because you have forsaken your first love. You need to repent and come back to your first love. Love is the most important thing. We are warned that our love is going to grow cold. And if coming out of what we've just come out of in our nation with the political drama, with COVID, and you look all around, in my lifetime, those of you that lived through, who lived through Vietnam, I didn't live through that. But in my lifetime, I've never seen our country more divided. I've never seen our country more at odds, more hating one another than ever. And wow, what's our job supposed to be, church? We need to love one another. If you don't love the person sitting next to you in the pew, you've got a problem. And the enemy of our souls is Revelation chapter 12. It says that the enemy has been thrown down and he knows his time is short. And we're in a war. We are in a spiritual battle. When we became a Christian, we enlisted into the army of God. And part of an army of God, part of who we are, you all, it's an army of love. It's an army of love. And the enemy of our soul seeks to take us out. And you know, one of the major ways he'll try to do that is he'll try to plant seeds of bitterness in our heart. The writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 12, he says, see to it that no bitter root grows up in your heart, because that bitter root is going to defile many people. If you have hatred and you have unforgiveness in your heart, y'all, that's a root of bitterness, and it's going to defile people around you. I've seen churches completely destroyed because of angry, bitter people. If we can't love one another here, what are we? We're no more than a social club. We're no more than just to come and hear once a week, and then that's not the church. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ loves one another. The enemy, his name, he's the father of lies. He is he's called the accuser of the brethren. And when the enemy comes, he is always trying to plant seeds of bitterness in our heart, get you angry at somebody. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes, and he says, see to it that you don't let the sun go down on your anger and give the devil a foothold. If you have an anger problem, you've given the devil a foothold in your heart. You're to love one another. Bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, all of that is straight out of hell. I look at our nation, I see what's happening, and it just makes me angry because I see the enemy behind it. I see the father of lies. I see the accuser of the brethren. When we can't sit down and have a conversation with each other because we're so angry, we have so much bitterness. trespasses. If there's a scripture that should make us tremble and fear the Lord, it's that one. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespass. Whoa, what is going on? That's pretty intense. That's pretty heavy. It's because of what God did for us in Jesus Christ. He sent his Son. God is love, and he sent his Son to die on the cross for your sins. You are loved. You are loved. If we believe in that, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Perfect love casts out all fear. We are to forgive because the extent of which we have been forgiven. You will never be asked to forgive more than what you have been forgiven of. We need to know what we've been forgiven of. We need to look at Jesus, and we need revelation to see Jesus on the cross so that we may know how much we are loved, so that we are to love other people. The power of Holy Spirit, the power, the dunamis of God, it means more than just love. But if we miss the foundation of love and what he wants to do in our hearts and shedding abroad the love of Jesus in our hearts, y'all, we miss the whole point. We miss it. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 13, sandwiched between the power gifts, the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk about that in the weeks ahead. But in the middle of that, he writes, love is patient. Love is kind. It is not rude. And he goes on, it is not boastful. Love is the most important thing because that is who God is. It's who he is. And we need the power of his love to consume us so that we can be that army of love. That army, when Jesus saw the multitudes, it said repeatedly about him, he was moved with compassion. The healing came from Jesus, not because he was on a power trip, but because he loved people. He loved them. When we walk on the street and we see people, do we judge them? Or are we moved with compassion for them? When you go to bed at night, and maybe you've got things in your mind, you've got people that have grievously sinned against you, that you're harboring anger and bitterness and rage and resentment at that. Y'all, we have to let that go. If we want to be forgiven, we have to let it go. If there's anger in our lives and we have gone to bed with anger and the devil does have a foothold in our lives and we're angry and we're just, and I want to read that. Let's go over to Ephesians. Ephesians, because this is so important and it's tied together with this whole thing with love and the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, put away lying, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give, some translations say, the devil a foothold. This translation says, and give no opportunity to the devil. Jumping down to verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up. Wow. Is that part of our culture right now? We're constantly tearing one another down. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. It matters what we say. You grieve Holy Spirit when you let corrupting talk go out of your mouth. So, okay. Wow. What do we do? Maybe we are angry. Maybe we do have want you to visually just imagine yourself putting that on the cross. Imagine it. Just say, Lord, take it. It might be the name of a person. It might be their act. And just see that and put it on the cross of Jesus Christ. He bore that so you don't have to bear it. Serving one another. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, one of the most powerful passages in all the scripture. It said he knew who he was. He knew where he was going. And what does he do? He gets down, he gets on his knees, and he washes the disciples' feet as a servant. May we love one another. May we serve one another. Get rid of all of the junk. And let's be an army of love. We need his help. We can't do it, can we? We need him. So, Father, we come. Help us to hear. Help us to heed. Help us to obey. Spirit of God, come and shed abroad the love of Jesus in our hearts. Amen. eyes to see, ears to hear. Give us your heart.